Today's shir is Masechta Nida Daf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, 18 lines from the bottom. Shlayim Bdukim Mechusim Bezavis Simen. In our previous shir, the Gemara had introduced two new reasons in explaining the Machlokes of Shammai and Hillel in our Mishnah, where if a woman has an emission, do we take the tumah back or do we not take the tumah back? Shammai says we don't, and Hillel says we do. The first of the two new reasons, which is the second reason in all of the four reasons we've explained, the four explanations of the Machlokes, was that Hillel said that it's possible that the dam had come out earlier, but it didn't exit the woman's body until later. Shammai wasn't concerned with that. And the Gemara quoted a brisa in which Hillel is trying to prove his point to Shammai. And the way he makes the point is that if you had a box that you found in it a sheretz, now, would we not be concerned, says Hillel to Shammai, that the sheretz, which is a source of tumah, was there from before, and therefore anything that was in the box would be considered tumah? And Shammai agreed with Hillel that we would be concerned. So we see that tumah goes back. So Shammai made a differentiation between a woman and a box. The Gemara said that the difference is Luzu, the Gemara said on top of Amid, Yesh loy shulayim, Luzu ain loy shulayim. A box has a bottom, and therefore the tumah must have been there. A woman doesn't have, so to speak, a bottom, and if this blood, it would have come out. So what happens in our Gemara, for the first part of our shir, certainly, is the Gemara quotes a Shmaitza, a Gemara, where Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiah also discussed such a situation, and the Gemara tries to analyze it in light of what we learned in this conversation of Shammai and Hillel. Itmar. So the Gemara begins. Kupish nishtam shibot taharis b'zavazu. You have a box, and as the Mefarshim point out, the box has to be of some size, because if the box is very small, then you would have seen the sheretz. The nimtza b'shavis b'sheretz zavis acheretz, and then you find a sheretz in the other corner of the box. And again, here too, the Mefarshim point out, if the sheretz were found in the same corner where the food was, the Gemara would take a much stricter opinion. Here we're referring to a situation where it's in a different corner, and the question is, did they come in contact or not? Chizkiah's opinion is, taharis rishon is taharis. What was there before is tahar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, taharis rishon is tameis. What was there from before is tamei. Ask the Gemara. And of course we have to remember, one of the rules of Shas is that an Amira cannot disagree with a Tana. Ask the Gemara. When we speak about this box, which is the box that we spoke about in the top of the Amid and the Brisa, Shammai and Hillel's dialogue. For Shammai and Hillel, there was no disagreement, says the Gemara, the Kupa, regarding this box, the Taharis Rishonis Tameis, that anything that was in the box before, we consider Tamei. Because we have to be concerned that the sheretz was already there when those taharas were there. So the question is obvious. So how could Chizkiah say that any taharas that were there before a tahar, that is contrary to both what Shammai and Hillel hold? And Chizkiah can't disagree with Shammai and Hillel. Who's the Tana that who's he relying on that he could argue with them? Answers the Gemara. Kimay the Shammai v'Hillel. When was Shammai and Hillel in agreement? B'kupash yesh l'shalayim. A box that has a bottom. And since the box has a bottom, that sheretz must have been there before. Why? Because let's think what happened here. The box had food in it. That food was poured out of the box. If the sheretz was there, where did the sheretz should have come out? Why is the sheretz not... The sheretz should have come out. The fact that the sheretz is there is a raya that it was in contact with the food. Ki pligi cheski v'Rabbi Yochanan. When do we have a machlokes cheski v'Rabbi Yochanan? B'kupa she'en l'shalayim. It doesn't have a bottom. And since it doesn't have a bottom, it's possible, it's impossible for the food to have come out without the sherets. So if the food wasn't, if the food came out, the sherets must have come out. If the sherets didn't come out, it must be because it wasn't there at that point. And the Mefarshim discussed, what does that mean? It's a box without a bottom. Some say it's a box that's a square and it's laying on its side. And when you pour out the contents, it doesn't have a bottom, so it can't be laying on the bottom because it doesn't have a bottom. It's laying on the on its side. And when you pour it out, everything must come out. There are other Mefarshim that say it can't be a square box, because the halacha is that a box, in order to be mekabel tuma, has to be round. But that isn't the point. The point is that it doesn't have a bottom, so if the tuma was there, it should have come out. Ask the Gemara, but now it's hard to understand. If we're talking about a box without a bottom, and if it's a box without a bottom, whatever came out must have come out. So now we could understand Chizki's opinion very well. The sheretz is there now. It couldn't have been there before. Because if it would have been there before, when I put out the contents of the box, the sheretz would have come along as well. It must be that the sheretz came later. And that's why the tares that were there from before are not tameh. But now, how do we understand Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? Rabbi Yochanan says they were concerned that the tares that were there from before came in contact with the sheretz. But that couldn't be, because when you poured out the, if the sheretz was there from before, why when you poured out the contents of the box did the sheretz not get poured out as well? Ask the Gemara, Elo Shalayim, if it has no bottom, my time to Rabbi Yochanan. Why is Rabbi Yochanan concerned about the tares that were there before? If the sheretz was there before, it would have come out together when you spilled out the contents of the box. Answers the Gemara, the box that we were speaking about is a box that ain't l'shalayim. It has no bottom, yesh l'ignayim, but it has a rim. And the Gemara shows us that a rim is perhaps a factor, v'tanya, because the Brisa says as follows, hamad l'asar dalamayim. Machlok Shoshan, how to learn this. The Gemara means as follows, we have a madla, we have a ladle, we're taking water with this ladle out of the source, from a well, from a stream, and we're pouring it in, that water, into another container. Hamad l'asar d'layim mayim b'zach hazeh. He does it one after the other. Nimtza sheretz b'ech mehem. So again, the Rishonim debate, is it 10 different ladles or it's one ladle? It doesn't really make a difference for the pshat. Now, one time when you're looking in your ladle, you find a sheretz. So halach is, hu tamei, the water that's in the ladle now is certainly tamei. It's in contact with the sheretz that's in your ladle. For kulan tahayim. But the water that's in the barrel that you poured previously ladles into the barrel are tahar. Why? Why not? Vamer shlokish why? Mishum Rav Yanai, lo yishon al she'en lo yignayim. Only if this ladle has no rim. Because if it has no rim, then we could be certain that the sheretz couldn't have been there from before. Because if the sheretz was there from before, when you pour the ladle out, the sheretz should have gone out as well. The fact that the sheretz is in the ladle is an indication that it only fell into the ladle now, and it wasn't in the ladle previously. Avol, loyshan alush ein loygnayim, avol yesh loygnayim, kun tmeim. Why? Because if it has a rim, so then the rim prevented the sheretz from coming out, and we have to be concerned that the water that was in the rim in your previous situations came into contact with that sheretz, became tamei, and therefore all the water you have now in that big barrel that you've been pouring into is tamei. So we see that if it has a rim, it makes a difference. And that was exactly what the Gemara said a moment ago, was Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. That Rabbi Yochanan's opinion was based on the fact that the barrel might not have had a bottom, but it had a rim that kept the sheretz back. Reb Chizkiya, on the other hand, the Gemara said, wasn't concerned about the rim. So asked the Gemara, Lema Chizkiya less late Rabbi Yanai, because according to Chizkiya, a rim, a gnayim, makes no difference. Says the Gemara, it's not true. It could be that Chizkiya agrees that a rim does make a difference or doesn't make a difference. But there's a difference. Maya sharki, peiri lo sharki. Here we're talking about water. Water comes out much easier than fruit. So let's understand. If I have a ladle and it has a rim, so I don't really have to turn over that ladle that much to get the water out, because water is it's liquid, so it comes out easy. So that's why Chizkiya will agree that if it has a rim, the water came out and the sheretz remained. But the kupa we're speaking about, you weren't pouring out water, you were pouring out fruit. To get fruit out of a basket, you really have to turn it over. If you really have to turn it over, the rim won't make a difference. And if there was a sheretz there before, the sheretz should have come out with the fruit. That's one explanation. Maya sharki, mayim comes out much easier than peris. Inami, another teretz. Maya le kapralayu, peri kapralayu. If somebody has a ladle with water, water is not a very expensive commodity. So if I'm pouring out the water from a ladle, I'm not going to be so careful to necessarily make sure that every drop of the water comes out. So I'll have some water left over. So since I'm not so careful to completely turn over the ladle, the sheretz might have been left behind. But when I have fruit, I want to get every fruit out. So how am I going to make sure to get every fruit out? I'm going to completely turn over my basket. That the ognayim, that the rim won't hold back. Rabbi Yochanan obviously disagrees. Chasam Sofer explains what's the difference between the two lashonos that we just explained in differentiating between water and peiros. He says, what's going to be the halacha by wine? On one hand, wine, you also want to get every drop out. But on the other hand, wine comes out easy like water. So according to the first lashon that we're looking, does it come out easy or more difficult than wine to be treated like water? If, however, the vart is kapid, wine, you're makpid like peiros, not like water. Ibai seima. So again, what is the Gemara trying to focus on? What the Gemara is trying to focus on is that on one hand we have Shammai and Hillel agreeing that if you have a kupa with a sheretz in it, we need to be concerned that sheretz was there from before. Yet Chizkiya says we need not be concerned. So now the Gemara gives a different way of explaining. Ibai seima, kimai de Shammai v'Hillel, b'kupa shena b'duka. Where we didn't know before that that kupa was clean. So now if I find the sheretz, I need to believe that the sheretz was there from before. Ki pligi chizki Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan are referring to a situation, the kupa beduka, where it was examined. So we have the kupa knowing that there's no sheretz there. And now we can understand. Rabbi Yochanan says we rely on the cheskas tahara because we checked it. Chizki says we don't. Ma'asava ha beduka, and therefore, habotka, you checked it and it's clean. And therefore, we can rely on the Cheskas Tahara. On Masava, whereas Chizki is of the opinion, Eimer im silik yada nafla. Yes, I examined it. And yes, there was no sheretz. But maybe the moment afterwards, the sheretz fell in, and it was metame, all of the taharas that are in the basket. Ask the Gemara, isn't the case of Kupa, how did we get into this Gemara? This is the way to understand this Gemara. How did we get into this whole discussion of Kupa? We're learning Masechta Nida. We got into this discussion because the Hillel wanted to use the case of Kupa as similar to the case of Isha. So we're saying that Hillel and Shammai were speaking about a Kupa Shena Beduka. But if they're speaking about a Kupa Shena Beduka, how could Hillel compare a woman to that? Vodumi the Isha Ktani. Hillel was attempting to compare an Isha, a woman, to a Kupa. And an Isha is Bedukahi. Why is an Isha Beduka? Because as the Mishnah mentioned, and we'll speak about this more in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow, Shir. The halacha is that a woman is supposed to make a bedika every morning and every evening. So she's, by definition, a beduka. So if Hillel was comparing, in his situation, a kupa to a woman, it must be a kupa beduka, because an isha is considered beduka. Answers the Gemara, an isha, even though she's supposed to make a bedika in the morning and the evening, is not considered beduka. Why? Kim the Shricha by Damim, she does get her period, that turns her into the category of Eina Beduka. So what we're up to is as follows. Hillel and Shammai were talking about a Kupa Sheina Beduka. Because an Isha is considered Eina Beduka. And as the Rishonim explain, especially since she's only Tamei with a Hargosha, she's considered Eina Beduka. They weren't speaking about a Kupa Beduka. when we speak about a kupa beduka, that's where we have machloikis of Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan. Iba yisema, another way of explaining Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan's machloikis, and that it shouldn't be a problem with Shammai and Hillel's comments. Ki moed Shammai and Hillel, bekupa she'enu mechusa. They were speaking about a kupa that was uncovered. There was Shadim debate. What does this Gemara mean to say regarding beduka? Does the Gemara mean to say that it's the only problem with this kupa is that it's ena mechusa, or is it ena beduka, or beduka is not a factor now? Keep ligi Chizki Rabbi Yochanan. Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan are speaking about a kupa mechusa. And the question is as follows. If we're talking about a kupa mechusa, ask the Gemara, how could they have a debate? Mechusa hechenafel. If it's covered, how did the sheretz end up there? Answer the Gemara, kupa mechusa means kegoyin shetashmish ayadei kisui. Kupa mechusa means that it's covered, doesn't mean it's covered every moment. Because if it's covered every moment, how are you going to use your box? It's covered usually, and you open it up when you need it. And the machloikis is, as we'll see in a moment, how do we look at it? But again, ask the Gemara. For dumi the ishik tani. So we're saying that the isha is eina mechusa, the kupa is eina mechusa, the kupa that Rav Shammai and Hillel are talking about, a kupa eina mechusa, and Rav Yochanan and Chizki are talking about a kupa mechusa. But ask the Gemara, when Shammai and Hillel were talking about a kupa, and they were trying to compare or contrast a kupa to an isha, how can we say they're talking about a kupa eina mechusa? Then it's not a comparison, because an isha is mechusa. Isn't a woman mechusa? Ask the Gemara. V'dumi the ishik tani. V'isha mechusa hi. A woman isn't. So the way most mefarshim explain, she's the havamina. She isn't expelling dam all the time. Or she needs a hagasha to give off dam. Answer the Gemara. You can't call an isha ena mechusa. Mechusa. You can't call an isha mechusa. Why? Kiven the shchich by damim. It's very common that a woman does get a period. So she's in the category of Ein Mechusa. So where we're explaining right now, we're still in the middle of this teretz. A woman is in the category of Ein Mechusa because she's always in a situation that she may become Tamei. The Kupa, therefore, that Shammai and Hillel were talking about, where Kupa is a Kupa that's Ein Mechusa. The Kupa that Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan are talking about is a Kupa Mechusa. Ask the Gemara. That's where they have their machloikis, and therefore their machloikis has nothing to do with what Shammai and Hillel spoke about, and there isn't an issue that Chizki is disagreeing with Shammai, or with Shammai and Hillel. V'bai Seima, another way of explaining what Shammai and Hillel are speaking about versus what Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan are speaking about. V'bai Seima, kimay d'sham v'hillel, b'zavas kupa. They're referring to a situation where it was found in the kupa itself. That in the kupa, as we began today's shiur, they found the sheretz. And now the question is, do we have to be concerned that it was there from before? And as we learned already yesterday, yes, both Shammai and Hillel are concerned that that sheretz was there from before. V'chi pligi Chizki Rabbi Yochanan. Where are Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan speaking about? V'zavas bayis. They're not speaking about who was found in one corner or another corner of the box. They're speaking about a whole new issue. That the kupa was moved. For a kupa comer. But ask the Gemara, look at their wording. The wording is that it was found in a different corner of the box, not a different corner of the house. Answer the Gemara, hachikama. This is the way to understand what Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan are speaking about. Kupa shenishtamish bot taharis bezobis by zoo. You had a kupa. I had an atar food and you were using it in one corner of the house. And now it was taken to a different corner. And now there's a sheretz found when it's in the new spot in the house. How do we look at it? We don't assume that the sheretz was in the first place. We assume that the sheretz fell into the box only when it was put into the new place. So any food that was only in the old spot, nothing to be worried about. Rabbi Yochanan Sofer, Rabbi Yochanan holds Machsakinen. We have to be concerned that the sheretz was there from before. According to this, the Gemara doesn't even try to talk about Isha. Because the Isha has nothing to do with being transported around. That isn't a factor by Nisha, and therefore the difference about Shammai and Hill was speaking about versus what Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about is so evident, the Gemara doesn't even attempt to analyze it. So now the Machloikis is a whole new issue. The whole new issue is, if Machzikin and Tumel Lamakim, are we concerned that Truma travels from one place to the other? Ask the Gemara, Mi Machzikinon, is there such a halacha concern? But not. The Mishnah says, Nogabecha Belaila. If somebody touched somebody by night, then Yedeya, and you don't know if when you touched that person, Imchayimes, if that person was alive or dead. Ulamacha Hishka and Matsumes. In the morning you wake up, and you discover that the person that you touched during the night is now no longer living. Ramei Matame, Mitar. Ramei says we don't have to be concerned that the person that you touched during the night was dead. The Chama Imrim. The Chama Matama. Why? If we see him dead now, we have to be concerned that he was dead at night already. Only if you touched it were you found him dead. Meaning, just to get the story straight. If there's a person that you touched during the night, and he's laying in a spot, and when you touched him, he was dead, and you touched him, he was in this spot, that's when the Chachamim are machmer. Otherwise, if you touched him over there, and now he's over here, we need not be concerned. So we see that we don't assume that the Tumah traveled from one place to the other. So how does Rabbi Yochanan hold that Machzikin and Tumah Makom L'Makom, that if the Tumah was, if the box was there, if the box is here, and here it's Tameh, it must have been already Tameh for before. That's contrary to Ein Machzikin and Tameh Makom L'Makom. So as we learn the opinion of the Chachamim, we have a very difficult question. The Chachamim say that if you touched a person during the night, if you touched a person during the night, and you don't know if you, and then in the morning you discover that that person was dead, if when you touched him, he was where you, if he's now, when he's dead, where you touched him during the night, then you have to be concerned that your tummy. Ask all the Rishonim. This is contrary to the first Mishnah of Masechta, to what Shammai said. Shammai says we don't take tumah retroactive. Here we are taking tumah retroactive. So there are a number of very important answers to this question. One answer is here we're talking about a source of tumah. We're talking about a mace. That's why we're more machmer. Another pshat is that the Chachamim only machmer with Rabbonim, for kachim, for taris. Not that they say there's definite tumah, but as we've discussed many times, for kachim and taris, we're more concerned. Another teretz is that in a case where we knew the person was alive at the beginning of the night, the Chachamim would be lenient. Here we're referring to a situation where we don't know when the person died. And therefore the Chachamim say we need be concerned that the person was tameh from before. Now actually discussing this issue, the Gemara is referring to Hilchos Tumah Tahara, which aren't that relevant in our lives. But this question is a very relevant question. First of all, it's relevant, say the Paiskim, to an issue that we discussed at the beginning of our Shiurim and this Masechta, where we know that the halacha is that if somebody becomes aware that one of his close relatives died, there's a difference if he finds out before the shloshim of the patira or after the shloshim for how much shiva he has to sit. The question is, and if he doesn't know, what should he do? Taz says he should only sit as if it's after the shloshim. Magen Avraham is machmer. Here, don't the Chachamim seem to be taking the opinion that we should be machmer? And the Chachamim is saying that we have to assume that he was dead already. According to Chum, we should be lenient. Because according to Chum, we have to assume that he was dead from before. Isn't this the question of Machzikin and Tumim Makom L'Makom or not? Which was saying is Machlokes of Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. So the Mefarshim say it's not a perfect comparison, given the reasons that I just gave. Because we just said that this is a din strictly on the source of Tumah. It's a din strictly Kachem Ta'aris. Avelis is different. A similar question. Unfortunately, this question came up during the Holocaust. There were people whose close relatives perished during the Holocaust. But they don't know exactly what day they died. There's no record. And the question is what day should they keep the yard site? And as the Paiskim say, You know, keeping the day of the yard site is not just to remember the relative who passed away. Of course, it is part of the yard site. But the yard site should be kept specifically on the day of the yard site. Because every year on that anniversary, the person who's no longer here is reevaluated, so to speak, in the Beis Din Shamala. And the relatives commemorating the yard site help that neshama. And the question is, do you keep the earlier date? That seems to be the opinion of Chachamim. Do we have to be concerned that he is already dead from before, or do we not? But if we say that Chachamim are only saying their din in specific situations, it may not be a raya. Another area of halacha where this comes up, the issue of machzikin and tumim makam l'makam, is as follows. Let's say you have a dishwasher at home. A fleishig dishwasher, you obviously have a separate fleishig dishwasher or a separate milchig dishwasher or two dishwashers. And if you put in a fleishig plate or fleishig pot in your milchig dishwasher or vice versa, you could have a real issue. Because if it's dirty or the bleus and it's not 24 hours, for sure. So there's a problem of the fleishig pot in your milchig dishwasher or vice versa. If, on the other hand, and we'll make a simple story, you find a spoon, a fleishig spoon, in your milchig drawer, in your dairy drawer, or vice versa, it's a lot less of a shaila. Because all you need to do is pull out that spoon and kasher it. So now you wash all your dishes in your dishwasher. You don't like to wash dishes. You use your dishwasher. So now the question is, and you open up your drawer, and you find a milchig plate, a milchig spoon, or a milchig pot, amongst your fleishig silverware pots, plates. So if it's found here itself, so we only have to worry about the specific pot or spoon or plate that I found. But if it was in my dishwasher, then I have to worry about everything that was in my dishwasher because of the bleus. If we hold a machzikin and tumim makam l'makam, so we only have to worry about the place that we found it, which is what Ramei says. The Chum seem to say we have to worry about what happened previously. And maybe that would be a concern for the dishwasher. The Paiskim are lenient in this situation. Says the Gemara. So here we see that the Chacham hold, that it's the issue of Eimachzikin Tumel Makam L'Makam. V'chi Teima, Hani Mili Lisroif. That we're not Machzik Tumel Makam L'Makam only regarding burning it. That we don't treat it certainly Tamei. Ava Litlois. We are machzik. So the question again is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was machzik tumim makam l'makoyim. Even the chacham who are machmi here say if the tum is not in the place where it was originally, we could be lenient. So how do we reconcile the chacham with Rabbi Yochanan? The chitayma, if we'll suggest, hani mili lisroif, that the chacham say we don't have to be machzik tumim makam l'makoyim in order to burn the tumah. Ava litlof talinan, they are going to consider it a chshash. Ask them remove it to lean it, but tanan, the Mishnah says, machat shenim tzimlei chludo shvura. If there's a needle that is rusty or broken, tahira, and you have food on that machat, we assume that the food is tahira. Shakar tameis, kshashas mitziyosin. We assume that if I found the food now on this broken needle, which doesn't have the ability to give off tumah, that's when the food was put on it. Vamai, why should we not be concerned, says the Gemara? Lema haimi kar machd ma'al yasehi. It was originally a good needle, a non-rusty needle. Fahashta huda hela chaluda. And now it got rusty. And since now it got rusty, that's why it's the food that was on it from before. It must be that this Mishnah is teaching us that shas mitziyason teaches us we don't have to be worried about anything from before. And the same thing, makam mitziyasa, we don't have to worry if it was in a different place before. Void, another raya. Matzah sheretz aru, if somebody found a burnt sheretz, which doesn't have the ability to give off tumah. Although, the pious can make a difference between a burnt sheretz, which certainly doesn't have the ability to emit tumah, versus a burnt body that sometimes afer will still give off tumah. So here, matzah sheretz aruf al gabei hazeisim, v'chematlus hamahumam, there was a piece of material that came in contact with a zav. And therefore, it's tamei, and you found it in contact with food, that food is tar. We say, shekal tameis, kishas mitziyosin. Now, as I found it, it doesn't have the ability to give off tuma. I need not be concerned about before in any relative, in any category, in any degree of chumrah. And it seems to be the same thing regarding makom mitziyosin, says, is the Gemara saying. That if I find tuma here, even though I don't have to be concerned that the tuma was anywhere else, says the Gemara. And even if you'll argue, kishmas mitziyosin, bein lekula, bein lechumrah. Yes. If I find tuma now, if I find a status now, if I find a situation now, I need not be concerned about what happened before. That's only regarding a situation, like we just learned. Tuma on your broken needle. Tuma on your rusty needle. Tuma on a torn piece of beged or on a burnt sheretz. But when we speak, but it was the makom mitziyosin, the tuma never moved. But in a situation of makom mitziyosin, where the tuma moved, as we're speaking about, maybe we should be machmer, misrav loisarfinan. We wouldn't say that it's definitely tuma. However, mitla talina, we need to be concerned. Says the Gemara, I'll prove to you that we need not be concerned at all. Vatanan, because the Mishnah says, kikar al adaf, you have a piece of bread on a board. Umadaf tamei munach tachtav, and in front of that board is something tamei. Afapi shimnafla, even if though the bread had fallen off by itself, e efshir, and now you find the bread in front of that piece of tuma. And now the question is as follows, how did that bread get there? If the bread rolled off, then it must have touched the tuma. It couldn't have gotten there without touching the tuma. If it was taken off, then it could have been just taken over the tuma. So the Bryce, the Mishnah Paskins, Afapi, even though the situation here is shimnafla, that if the bread had fallen off this ledge, efsha elmke naga, it couldn't have fallen to where it is unless it would have touched what's tamei. The bread is tahar. Sheni oimer adam tahar nichs l'shavenatla. The halacha tells us that we aim machzikin and tumim makom l'makom, and if it was originally in a spot that it's tahar, and now it's in a spot that's tahar, I have no need to be concerned that it touched tum in between. At Shani Oimer, because we could assume, Ad Tar Nichlos L'Sham, that how did the bread get from where it was to where it is? By a Tar person coming in, V'Natla. Unless, At Shiyam Baruli Shalai Nichlos Adad M'Sham. Unless we could be sure that there was nobody there, and therefore it must have been that the bread came in contact in Tumah as it came from where it was to where it is. V'amar Rabbi Lozer, and Rabbi Lozer explained, Lo Netzuche El Makom Madrin, that the Chiddush here is, says Rabbi Lozer, that even if the bread isn't on incline, so it's so very likely that that bread came in contact with the Tumah as it got from where it was to where it is, we need not be concerned. So we see that Eimach Sekin and Tumah Mamakom Lamakom is such a strong concept that when everything, when you have so much circumstantial evidence pushing in the direction that it should be Tameh, it's not Tameh. Unless we have no other way of saying it. So how do we understand here that Rabbi Yochanan says, Machzakin and Tumim Makom Makom, that if we found the Kupa with the Sheretz in this corner of the house, we have to be concerned that it was already there in the other corner of the house? Answers the Gemara, it's not a Kasha. Hasr Kriktani Tama. The Mishnah gave us its reason. Shani Aymer, because there we have an easy way of explaining it. Adam Tar Nichl L'Sham V'Natla. It easily was transported. People take things off the ledge and put it on the floor. So since there's such a plausible explanation, that's why Eimach Sekin and Tumah Makom L'Makom. But where the explanation is not that plausible, Rav Yochanan says we have to be concerned that the Tumah was there from before. Says the Gemara, here too we have a plausible explanation. Hachanami, neima, oyrif asa, v'shada. Why would not say that a bird took it from where it was to where it is? Answers the Gemara. Adam, the kavrana aminin. To explain how did the bread get from where it was to where it is by a person taking it makes a lot of sense. Oyrif, birds don't do things intentionally. Shloba kavrana, so to think that that's dafka what happened, things that aren't in control of a people with intelligence, we don't assume. ask the Gemara, but let's think about it. What do we have here? Again, to review this case. We started with a piece of bread on a ledge. Rabbi Elazar told us at the bottom of Amud Aleph, not just that it's a ledge, but it's on a slanty ledge. There's tuma right in front of that ledge. And that bread is in front of that tuma. So if it rolled off, it must have become tuma first. If it was taken off, it could have avoided it. And the Mishnah Paskin, with a certainty, that we need not be concerned. And we could be comfortable that the bread got from where it was to where it is by a person having taken it. But it certainly starts off as a suffix. And we learned yesterday, based on the model of Hilchas Soita, that whenever we have a suffix tumah, Brishas HaYachid, we consider it tameh. Ask the Gemara. Mechti. Hakika, suffix tumah Brishas HaYachid. Isn't this a classical example of suffix tumah Brishas HaYachid? And we've learned, so how can we be lenient here? Answers the Gemara. The call of Hashem by Das Lisho, Bein Brishus Rabim, Bein Brishus Yochid, Sveik Atar, which means as follows. We said a second ago that the source for the halacha, that Sveik Tam Brishus Yochid is Tamei, Sveik Tam Brishus Rabim is Tahar, is the din of a Saita. Now, what's a Saita? Saita is a human being, an intelligent person, that you could ask what is her status. If we're using Saita as a model, so only when it's similar to Saita, a person, there we can differentiate between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, as the Torah differentiates by a Saita, as we spoke yesterday, between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. But here we're talking about bread. Bread is not something that has intelligence. So how could, so that's why, even though it's Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and even though it's a Suffolk, we could be Mekel. Vibay Seima, another reason, and there's a machlokes why, to what we're going back to. Some say we're answering this question about why we're lenient here. Another pshat is, some say we're answering this question about Suffolk Tumah Rosh Hashanah Yochid, why we shouldn't be Machmer, isn't this a Suffolk Tumah Rosh Hashanah Yochid? Other Rishonim say we're going back to our original question. That why is Rabbi Yochanan strict when it comes with the sheretz from one corner of the house to the other corner of the house? And lenient, the Mishnah says, nobody disagrees with that Mishnah, with the bread that rolled, possibly, the bread that might have rolled over Tumah. Answer the Gemara, Hach b'Tumah d'Rabbanan. The Tumah here we're only speaking about is a Tumah d'Rabbanan of the bread. That means that the garment that was laying in front of this ledge wasn't really a Tumah d'Araisa. The way the Rishonim explained, there are certain garments that Chazal consider Tamei. The begodim of Amaoritz are considered Tamei. The begodim of even people who are careful, but they're not as careful as others, are considered Tamei. So since that's a very low Tumah, that's why we don't have to be concerned. But when we're speaking about, as Rabbi Yochanan was speaking about, a sheretz traveling from one corner to another corner, where they were speaking about a Tumah d'Araisa, at least misafik, we have to be machmer. And says the Gemara Dekanami, what's the raya that we're speaking about a very low level tumah in that case with the bread? The Ktani Madaf, the Ksiv Ola Nidaf. The word Nidaf means a withered leaf. It's a very weak leaf. Here too, the tumah is a very weak tumah. And that's why the bright Mishnah specifically used the word Madaf instead of Daf to teach us it's a very low level tumah. We learned in the Mishnah, Machloik is till now we've been speaking primarily about the opinions of Shammai and Hillel, where the woman found this omission, do we make her retroactively tumah or not? Shammai says no, Hillel says yes. The Chachamim came up with a new opinion. Tana Rabbanan, the Chachamim loike devrizeh, loike devrizeh. Loike devri Shammai, shloi asu siyog ledvarav. They don't agree with Shammai, who was totally lenient, and say that she's only tumah moving forward, not moving backwards. Like a different Hillel shehivras miyadosav, and not like Hillel who was so strict and says until we could be sure that she wasn't tamei, we need to be concerned that she was tamei. Elam eis meis mametes ayidem pekidah lepekida, umepekidah mepekidah mametes ayidem meis leis, which means as follows: she can't be tamei for more than 24 hours, but she can be tamei for less than 24 hours. If she did a bedika within the last 24 hours, and that bedika she was tahar, she's only tamei from that last bedika. If she didn't do a bedikah in the last 24 hours, she can't be tummy for more than 24 hours. That even though the last bedikah was more than 24 hours ago, she won't be tummy for more than 24 hours. That if she, the last bedikah was less than 24 hours ago, she will only be tummy from that last bedikah. And it explains itself. The last bedikah she did was on Sunday. And it was a fine bedikah. And she didn't do any bedikahs on Monday and Tuesday. And on Wednesday she does a bedikah and she turns out that she's tamei. We don't say that we have to consider a tamei back to Sunday. We only say that she's tamei 24 hours back. On the other hand, if she did a bedika at the beginning of the day, or matzah tayra, and it was fine, during the second or third hour of the day, she didn't do any bedikas, and then at the fourth hour, she discovers that she's tamei, we don't take her back 24 hours, el mekida bekida, we make a tamei only from when the last bedikah was what's this morning, not 24 hours ago. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Isn't this obvious? Kiven the bat gat from Bishar Rishayna. She did a bedikah this morning. Umatzis tahira, and she was fine. How can we have a havamina to take her back before that and make a tamei? Pshita. Kiven the bat gat from Bishar Rishayna. She was bedikah herself at the beginning of this morning. Umatzis tahira, and she was fine. Lametvin Allah, a slice. How can we think that she should be tamei for 24 hours prior to us seeing her tamei? Answers the Gemara. I did the tanam es la'es. Matase de begidol begida. Since we had to say the halacha, that if she did a bedikah on Sunday, and she found herself tamei on Wednesday, then we don't take her back to Sunday according to the chamim. We only take her back for 24 hours. So that's why to be consistent, tamei, even though it's obvious. Amar Rava, my Talmud Rabbanan, what is the basis of the Rabbanan's opinion? Isha Mageshes Batzma. The Isha knows when she's Tamei. And as we've been saying in our Shiurim, so since she knows that she's Tamei, she would have known, she would have seen, so we can't be dealing with a Tumah D'oraisa. Or as we learned in the previous Shiurim, it was, she got confused with the Hargosha, Rashi explained, that she did a bedika, thinking the sensation she felt is the bedika, but really was a Hargosha of the dam coming out. And therefore, we're lenient. Ask them, that's exactly what Shammai said. So then you're exactly saying what Shammai said. And if you agree with Shammai, in concept, in logic, then you should agree with Shammai and Halacha, and she should only be Tamei moving forward, not moving backward. Answer the Rav Rav L'chadud L'Abayahu D'Abaya. He was just trying to see if Abaya was sharp. So all the Rishonim asked the question, where do we see sharpness here? It wasn't such a brilliant question. So sort of Rishonim answer, what Rav really meant to ask to Abaya is, what is the number of 24? In other words, if you agree with Shammai, she shouldn't be Tamei at all retroactively. If you agree with Hillel, she should be Tamei all the way back. Where did the Rabbanan come up with the number of 24? El Mai Tamei the Rabbanan. So indeed, and that's what the Gemara now will address, what is the basis of the Rabbanan that came up with this 24-hour number? Answers the Gemara, Kedam Ryudam Shmuel. Hacham Teknolos Yisrael, Chazal instituted that all Jewish women, and again, we have to emphasize, this was in the time of Chazal, where Hilchas Nida wasn't only regarding a husband and wife's relationship. Hilchas Nida also had to do with Tum and Tahara. And if a woman was a Nida, whatever she touched became Tamei. So that's why Chazal said, Sheboitkes Atzman Shachas for Arvis. They should check themselves every morning and every evening. Shachris Lahach Shatar Shalila, to make sure that she wasn't Tamei overnight, and she might have touched something during the night and made a tamei. Arvis, and she has to check herself every evening. L'hachsha tarish l'yoyim. And this woman, Harav Leibatka, she didn't do what she was supposed to. She didn't check herself in the morning. And that's why, Hafsida Aina. My Aina, Aina Yisairu. Which means as follows. We have a woman that discovered, let's say, Monday night that she was tameh. And she didn't do a bedika Monday morning. So certainly everything that she touched Monday by day is tameh. But Chazal fined her, punished her, that also Aina means 12 hours, that everything she touched Sunday night will also, we will consider a tameh as a punishment. Ask the Gemara, if what we're saying is that Chazal punished her with an extra Aina, how does that happen? If you're saying that they only wanted to add one more Aina, we could have a situation that we're really going into more than that. Because what does it mean? Let's say she checked herself again Monday afternoon and she discovers that she's tamei. So we take her 24 hours back. What that will do is she'll be tamei all of today, all of Monday day. She'll be tamei all of Sunday night, and she'll also be tamei back to Sunday afternoon, 24 hours before she actually did a bedika, which is essentially 2.5 oinus. The Gemara is calling it 3 oinus. But we're saying the Chazal only said 2 oinus. Answered the Gemara, Hishvu chachamim the same shleitacha beis leis. You're right. Chazal only added 1 oina. And she should only be tamei Sunday night, not Sunday day. But sometimes it is 24 hours. And sometimes it isn't 24 hours, depending when she did the bedika. So in order to be consistent, Chazal said it should always be 24 hours. Ibais Ema, Shleichai Tanisker. This woman who checked herself Monday by day, the reason, if we're going to be lenient and say she's only tamei Monday by day and Sunday night, will end up having gained by done the wrong thing. Because really, when should she have done the bedika? Monday morning. We just learned a minute ago. Chazal wants women to do a bedika every morning and every evening. So by her pushing off and not doing the bedika at the right time, by only doing the bedika Monday afternoon instead of Monday morning, she's going to gain for doing the wrong thing. Chazal find that unacceptable. Ask the Ramai B'nai, what's the nafkamin between these two explanations? Answer the Gemara, B'nai, it's Navalei Batka. When she didn't do the bedika Monday morning, not because she was violating what Chazal said, just she couldn't do it, she was an oinus. If we say that Chazal wanted to make a consistent rule, 24 hours, so it makes no difference. She's going to have to be tamei 24 hours back. If, however, we say, loy chayta nisker, she's not a chayta, she's an oinus. And therefore, in such a situation, she indeed will not be tamei 24 hours, she'll only be tamei till the beginning of Sunday night, in the case that we gave, where she did the bedika Monday afternoon.